So today I'll be actually continuing on the series that I was speaking on, and that is the I am statements that Christ shared in John's Gospels. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first I am statement in the book of John, which was, I am the bread of life. This week, we'll look at the next occurrence of the statement, which is, I am the light of the world. The main passage we'll be looking is actually going to be from John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 12 to 21, which I'll just read. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had yet not come. Now, the first thing that comes to mind when we think of light is it's a very visual thing. Now, if it's dark, you turn on the lights, or you light a candle. It becomes bright, and it stimulates your visual senses. But we always see there's more of a deeper meaning when it comes to light and darkness. That's not just seen in the Bible, but also accepted in the secular world as well. When you look at it from a Christian point of view, we live in a very dark world. We just need to look at some of the things that are happening around us. Recently, in Colorado, they legalized buying and selling of marijuana for recreational purposes. Now, before that, it was legal to possess certain quantities, but now it's actually legal to actually have shops and actually sell it for recreational use. It's funny to see how, as provisions are made in the law for more and more things to creep in. Because I would look at this law and say, so it was all right to possess before certain amounts, but then you wonder, if it's illegal to buy and sell, then how did they actually have it in the first place? So they found out that in order to regulate possession, they had to actually start buying and selling. So one led to the other. And even closer to home, we see, I'm pretty sure no one's missed the news about Rob Ford and everything that happens there. And even just in general, all the stories you hear about political people and people in the public life. In Rob Ford's case, people were polled after, all these things that he went through, and people still supported him. The reasoning being, well, he's doing a good job running the city. I don't really care what he does in his personal life. So those are the standards that have been set for people who are in public life, who are entrusted with governing. And you wonder what the general consensus of society is, that as you allow a few things to creep in, they become acceptable, and then you always have to push the boundary to the next level. So it is into this world, past, present, and future, that Jesus came and said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, just a little background regarding this passage. So the period when this takes place was either at the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles or probably the day after. So the Feast of Tabernacles was one of seven annual feasts that God had commanded Israel to observe. And it was one of the three feasts, the other two being the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a Passover, and the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, that all males were required to attend in Jerusalem. So the way it was structured was the feast lasted 7 days. And it was to remind the Israelites of the 40 years they had to wander in the wilderness before God finally led them to the promised land. So the tabernacle was those temporary shelters that they created for themselves every day while they were traveling in the wilderness. And even now, we see aspects of that still observed by the Jews in Israel. So during this feast, everybody would actually camp outside in these temporary dwellings. And there was also another aspect of this festival, which is, at the beginning of the festival, giant menorahs, which are basically large candlesticks, were lit up in the temple courts. And the light was so bright that it would actually light up the rest of the city. And on the last day, they would actually turn off the lights. And the menorah was supposed to represent the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that guided Israel while in the wilderness. So we see a lot of connection to the Old Testament, especially the time of Israel in the wilderness, especially when we see the two statements that Jesus made. "I am the bread of life and I am the light of the world." In both states, there is connection to that time of Israel in the wilderness. So the first thing we can establish in this verse, when we see Jesus making a statement in verse 12, is when you look at the context, the menorah was actually located in the court of the women. So the temple during Jesus' time, it was just not just one building, it was a complex. So outside was the court of the Gentiles, that is the furthest any non-Jew could come in. And then it was followed by the court of the women, which was the furthest women could come. And it is here where the treasury was, because that's where all the people would come together and also give donations to the temple. And we read, this is where Jesus was teaching. And it is also where he knew the rabbis would be and all those who were interested to worship God and who would know the word of God. Two times in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 42:6 and Isaiah 49:6, God said, "I'm going to send a light who will be a light to the nations." Two prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. So by making that statement, "I am the light of the world," Jesus was saying he was the Messiah. And he was not only claiming to be the Messiah, he was also claiming to be God. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my light." And even John said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto God, unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So in that one statement, he's making two claims to the Jews. One, that he's the Messiah. And the other one, that he is God. To the Jews, they knew, they believed the Messiah would be the savior of the people and he would be from the line of David, but they never believed he would be God. So for Jesus to claim that he is Messiah and God, that is a big shock for them. So when we look at that verse, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." A couple of things stand out. First of all, he said, "of the world." So he was not restricted anyway. Here, Christ is affirming the fact that he came as a sacrifice for the sins of all humanity, not just a small group of people, not just one nation, for all mankind. For all of humanity is in darkness. And God, in his abundant mercy, provided a sacrifice that not only met the need of the whole world for that time, but for the past and for the future days to come. And there was no lamb that could bear such a burden except Christ himself. "And whoever follows me." The interesting thing is, most lights are stationary. You don't see lights moving around. But here Jesus is saying that whoever follows, meaning the light is moving and that we are not to be still. We are to go where he takes us. When we look at the word "follow," there are a couple of meanings. One is to go after. So this is in the literal sense, physically following a person. And if you reference back to the time in the wilderness, the pillar of cloud and fire did not just stay in one place. They stayed there for a while, but then it would keep moving, and the people of it, and the nation of Israel followed it. And it was their guide. It took 40 years, but that is what the nation of Israel followed. They didn't know their way. And just as the nation of Israel didn't know the way, in the same way, we don't know the exact route as well. But the lesson to be learned here is that we are to keep our eyes trained on Jesus Christ, who is the light. Another meaning for the word "follow" is act according to the lead or example of someone. So basically it means to observe and replicate what someone else is doing. When I'm tasked with trying to fix something in the house, which is quite often, I usually don't know what I'm doing, so the first thing I do is actually go onto the internet, go to YouTube, and do my research. Why? Because somebody else has already done it and can show me the steps. So why try and reinvent the wheel? I'm willing to follow what somebody else did because I know that they did it right. And we see that in today's society. A lot of people don't know where they're going, but someone will stand out in the crowd and say, I know what I'm doing, come follow me, and people will follow blindly. But we see that Jesus, the true light, asked for people to follow. Not many did. The second part of that verse is, will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How important is it that we no longer be in darkness? See, everybody's attempted to walk in darkness. If you look back, in the middle of the night, you try to at least walk towards the light switch. It's an interesting attempt, but at least you know the layout of the room. You know where you left things. You have an idea of where you're going, and you can kind of stumble your way there. But when you look at the world in general, they don't know where they're going, and they're walking in darkness. But Christ here is saying, not only am I the light, but he's willing to give us a light in our hearts. So Christ is a true light offered to the people. And yet, no one was willing to accept him wholeheartedly. What's interesting is, in this passage, he didn't show any miracles to convince the people. Just imagine if somebody just showed up and said, I'm the light of the world, or made a statement like that. People would think, you know, this person's crazy. Yet, Christ, in his mercy and his grace, was there among the people as the light of the world. And why is light so important? I mean, we have seen many examples of it in the Bible, and some of the characteristics of light, it reveals to us. Light enables us to see things that are there all along, but because of darkness, we don't see it. And sometimes we don't want to see the light because it'll show what's lacking in ourselves. Light also provides a sense of safety. I remember when I was younger, if you're afraid of the dark, you'll always want somebody to leave the light on or have a nightlight. And we see the same image in the Old Testament. And we read Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 to 21. Then the angel of the Lord, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. We see when Israel was in a precarious situation where they were faced by the sea on one side and the Egyptian army on the other side. All this while, that pillar of cloud and fire, which was ahead of them, came behind them to be a barrier between Egypt and Israel. So that same light provided the protection that Israel needed. And I also read in one of the commentaries that when you look at it, they're in the middle of a desert where it's blazing hot during the day. So the spirit of cloud could very well have been the shade that they needed during the day to travel. And if you're in the desert, you know that by nighttime, it gets very cold. And that pillar of fire was probably the warmth that they needed in the wilderness. And Jesus is that light of protection as well. Depending on our situation, he's always there. The other characteristic is, and we touched upon this, that it shows the way, shows guidance. All that while they were in the desert, it was a pillar of cloud and fire that guided Israel through the wilderness. I know if you've seen pictures of the desert, it's like very similar to looking out in the ocean. There are no landmarks. There's no way to tell which way you're going. And especially during the day, it's quite blazing hot. So you just go in a general direction. And it was through this that they needed guidance. And that is what God provided. And that is what Jesus provides for us. He is our guide. Not only can he show us the way out of the darkness, but he gives us counsel to make the right decisions. And it was a visual symbol of God's presence. Sure, there were many, in, especially Moses, knew of God's presence because he talked to him. But the people of Israel needed a visual symbol that showed them that God was in their presence. And that was the assurance that they needed. And that is what we have today, is that because of Christ Jesus in our lives and in our hearts, we know that he is with us and that God is with us through the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, come follow me," he's providing us everything that we need to be a follower of Christ. What do we say when we say, "I want to be a follower of Christ"? We are to physically follow him where he takes us, have the faith that we might be wandering. It might seem to us that we are wandering, but in the time, God is preparing us and molding us so that when we do reach where he wants us to be, we can be used by him. We have to be willing to be guided by Christ and by God. And we have to be willing to go in faith, knowing that the strength of God is with us. His presence is there daily. Christ offered this all to the Jews. Some took it, some didn't. But we know that his ultimate aim was for all of humanity. So, as we look to Him as the light of the world, we ourselves should train ourselves and should be willing to go where Christ has called us. And as we look to the coming days, we see that as the darkness in this world grows, that we, as His children, are called to be the light in this world, to show where He resides, to show His love, to show His mercy. And that should be our prayer every day. As we come to His presence, that we hear His voice. You might not have a pillar of a cloud or of light in front of us every day to remind us of His presence. But that is why we have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in us. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time that You've given us, that we can come once again in Your presence. That You would come down onto this world to be a light for us, O Lord God, that You knew that the darkness of this world, the sin of this world, could not be washed away by the blood of sacrificial animals. And that is why You sent Your Son. And as we look to the coming days, we pray that in our walk, that we would follow the light that You have brought before us. And that light would also shine within us, so that others may follow as well. And that we would not be caught up in the darkness of this world. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, for Your protection, for Your guidance. Let's call these things, the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.